Welcome to the new For Purpose CEO podcast.
I'm Michelle.
I am Danielle. And we are here to talk about being a CEO in the for-purpose sector. Each episode, we will talk about issues not-for-profit and for-purpose CEOs need to manage based on our 30-plus years of experience. It will be an honest discussion of the highs and the lows, helping you tackle the unique challenges of running a NFP.
Leading can be challenging and sometimes lonely. We get it. Join us and our guests weekly for an honest discussion about running a for-purpose organisation. We will be sharing practical tips, shared experiences and real-world stories to help you tackle the unique challenges of running a for-purpose organisation. So today we're going to talk about how to create a great board pack. Now, we say this and we are cognizant, I guess, that actually it's a should be a joint effort between you and your chair. But in reality, it is often going to be the CEO who's doing the bulk of this work. Now, you will be having a conversation, or you should be having a conversation with your chair around, you know, what's going into the board pack, you know, your agenda, your CEO report, and we'll go through it in some detail. But I think we are really going to talk about this from the perspective of the CEO and what work you are probably going to do, and also, I guess, some ideal structure just to, I guess, make your life a bit easier and a bit more routine, in the sense you've got a predictable standard template that you can follow each time, that you get used to, your board gets used to. And I think, what, not reinventing the wheel each time saves time, right?
I would hope that people aren't reinventing the wheel each time, because that would take an enormous amount of time.
Yes, yes. All right, so let's start with, I mean, I think in terms of the process, I guess what I used to do and what I like to do and what I guess I advise CEOs to do is probably set up a meeting with your chair as a standard meeting that's probably about 2 weeks to 10 days before, no, more than that, probably 2 weeks before the board meeting, where you actually talk through what is going on the agenda. Because I would recommend you send board papers, the board pack out at least a week before the meeting. But have this meeting where you just check in with the chair as to what needs to go on the agenda. Would you do something similar?
Yeah. So what we do is we craft the board agenda. So first we have a template, a board agenda template, and then what informs that is by first looking at what is on the action list. So any actions that were, or decisions or actions that came out of previous board meetings that were due at this board agenda. So that would go in.
So if we're talking about this meeting with the chair before, you'd kind of check in on action items.
Yeah, well, I actually send to the chair
the action items.
No, the actual agenda filled out.
Oh, you send a draft agenda then?
Yeah, so I send the chair a draft agenda, and then we work together on what's that, because the chair will have a view about what is to be on the agenda or what needs to be talked about at the board meeting. Because also what can happen between board meetings is obviously directors can be talking to each other and chatting to each other and progressing things from their side, and you are too.
Yeah. Well, you're working on stuff, right? So you're probably working on some of the action items, let's be honest.
That's right. And you might need clarity, or you might have questions and you want to check in. So you're just trying to bring in all of what the chair and the board's doing and what you and management are doing together to make sure that what is on the agenda is reflected on all of that work that everybody's doing. So I send my chair, it's pretty much 95% complete. And what's it's informed by anything from the board work plan, action list, or anything that you're working on. And then we have a conversation about if there's any changes or amendments or anything like that. But I think it's probably good to talk about the agenda template and how that's kind of structured as well, because that helps inform your meeting.
I agree. And I think I was actually just going to add in that conversation, what I do often is I look at what are the action items and see if any of those action items need to go on the agenda, or they're just updated on that action item list, because it may be that it's just a comment when you're running through the action items, or it might be that something's done and now there's a paper to present or a decision to be made. So I really look at that action item list and see whether anything needs to move onto the agenda, because it won't all need to move onto the agenda. It might just stay as
progress update on the, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So I guess the agenda, the actual agenda for the board meeting. Now, There's a number of different ways of doing this, but I think we were talking earlier, and I think you and I have a fairly aligned view on a structure. And interestingly enough, we also have a fairly aligned view on a few things that don't work that we've seen, but we actually don't think work. So I think just to kick off, I guess we've got the sort of standard opening bits. And I will say that one thing I do like to see is if it's possible to have, you know, running down the right-hand side, a column which says time. And I think that is a really good way to keep to time. So allocate the number of minutes you think each item on the agenda is going to take. Now, this can be a bit rough at first and going to be a bit of hit and miss if it's the first time you're doing it. But I think if you've got a board that discussions, you know, for example, get really operational and get stuck somewhere, having some minutes, as in 5 minutes, 7 minutes, 20 minutes, that can help this process. So we've got the opening of the meeting, then acknowledgement of country, noting who is in attendance, noting any apologies, and asking if anyone has any conflicts to declare. You know, that honestly shouldn't take more than what? 5 minutes, 7 minutes. Yeah. So you can get all that out of the way. I mean, we're assuming there are no conflicts to discuss, but if there's not, then, you know, you can put 5 minutes. I think that's sufficient. That's pretty sufficient. So that's all the kind of that opening bits. And then the minutes, the previous minutes. You've got to have approval of the previous minutes. And again, actually, we didn't say this in the beginning because I'd also have sent the previous minutes to the chair quite soon after the meeting, get them agreed. And then sometimes people send that around to all the board members as well. But back to the agenda. So confirmation of the previous minutes, making sure that no one has any amendments or something they think is missing or, you know, whatever, right? So again.
But if you are sending that around well in advance to the board meeting, you should be able to get any of those issues resolved offline before it goes to the board meeting for approval of those minutes, so it goes into record as they are the
approved
minutes.
Yeah. So that's done.
And again, no more than 3 to 5 minutes.
If that, actually, don't you think? 2 minutes? Assuming they've gone round and someone might say, oh, actually, you know, so-and-so picked up this point and we're adding that. Does anyone have a problem? Or actually, we missed this point, whatever, right? So that's 2-3 minutes. And then the heading I use is, you know, items for decision. And I think there's quite a bit of research and information about this particular structure online. And the key one, if you look, is really get the decisions that might need all the brain power available early on in the meeting before everyone's sitting there going, oh my God, enough. I just want to leave, or it's late at night, or yeah. So items
eat
for
the
decision.
Frog. It's that time management things. Eat the frog, do the hard thing first.
Do the hard thing first. Well, you've had your little warm up with your opening stuff, which is all easy. So items for decision. And I think this is where we were talking earlier about, actually, this is where I guess the first thing we think goes wrong on agendas is this thing, is not putting your items for decision up now.
Yeah, they get hidden in reports, or they are later in the agenda, and so people by that stage, as you said, are sort of a bit fatigued, or it's rushed because they spent so much time talking about other things that they can't get to it. So you've got to think, as a CEO, you need to get the best out of your board, and they need adequate time for that discussion. Depending on how complex the decision is that you're asking for, put it up front. You'll get the best of them. But when we say put it up front, it's put it up front and put it out there. Don't hide it in reports.
Yeah, don't hide it in your CEO report. So, I mean, and so what this means in practical terms is you might be talking to this particular topic in your CEO report. So lift it out of your CEO report and put it in the items for decision. And so there should be literally a list of resolutions that you want, proposed resolutions. Now, it might be, you know, that the XYZ policy be approved in the form you know, set out in the board papers, or that the CEO be authorised to spend X dollars, which is, you know, above a line item that was in the budget, on this particular thing. So literally put the resolution that you think you want, noting that this has already been discussed with the chair, so it shouldn't be a surprise. So you literally just put what you want the decision of the board to be. Now, they will then discuss it. So it may be that it actually is the decision that they end up making, or it may be that they change it, or they may say, you know, yes, we'll have that resolution, but change it to, you know, on the assumption or on the condition that blah, blah, blah. So just have that right up there. Now, also, this assumes everyone's done their pre-reading. So when you're asking for a policy to be approved, for example, or updated, that they've actually read it, you're asking for a decision in relation to something you've been working on, that they've actually read the background paper. So I think get these decisions and the discussions around the decisions up early.
And make it easy for your board as well in your clarity of what you're asking for. So the way I kind of structure it is I'm recommending this for this reason. Here's a draft resolution, and it's intentionally draft, so the board knows they can change it, they can rewrite that, they can
qualify it. Well, it's their resolution, right?
Exactly. And then present the argument of what to demonstrate what I'm asking as a decision for. And you're right, if, you know, a good board would have done their pre-reading, they've done their pre-work, their pre-thinking. So they're not coming in to that meeting for a reiteration of you just rereading the briefing.
Yeah, yeah. It's so annoying.
They're coming in to ask you questions, to qualify your thinking, to demonstrate why.
To test you as well, right? To test that that's actually the best decision.
That's right. What other options, those sorts of things. They will have a view. And then you would think that then you would move to, you know, my board then moves to a decision on that.
But also just to say on that point, you should have also put the options in your paper, in your CEO board paper.
If there are options, absolutely, right? And risks and stuff like that. And I think that probably means there's an opportunity here for us to actually do an episode where we actually break down briefing papers.
Yeah, that is quite important. And I think sometimes the CEOs I speak with are like, well, how much detail do I need to present? You know, we could do this, we could do this, we could do nothing. And I'm like, yes, but obviously it depends on what you're talking about, right? So, all right, so let's go back to the agenda. So matters for decision next.
And depending the complexity of what you're actually asking for will determine time, how much time you're allocating. If you're having your meeting 2 weeks out from the board meeting with your chair going through the agenda, that's actually the kind of thing you want to be talking to your chair about. Let's allocate how much time. Is that a 10-minute conversation? Is it a half an hour conversation? Your chair will be coming into that discussion with you thinking like a director, talking to you about like what's going to be in that, what are you presenting, why, etc. So they'll be helping gauge like how long do we think the board really needs to talk about that. And in that conversation, the chair is also setting it up around, okay, I need to make sure that that issue is resolved in that time frame. To keep the board meeting on track to time, decision does get made.
Yeah, absolutely. And also the thing is, if it's a controversial decision, or if it's a decision, it might be like a milestone decision, it might be a business case, it might be something quite complicated. I think one of the things is in this meeting 2 weeks before is if it's not going to be resolved, then make sure that there is an understanding and an agreement that there's almost actions arising out of that. So if it's not resolved, what other pieces of information, you know, what are we going to ask for in the board meeting is needed before a decision can be made, like in order for a decision to be made? Because otherwise it's like, oh, you go back and think about it and you're like, well, hang on, I have thought about it. I've thought about it a lot as a CEO. That's what I'm doing. I need some instruction as to what you need, what more information, or what's the struggle here? So what do you need to make the decision? And so I think you need to have that discussion. All right, so matters for decision, and they might be big, they might be small. And then I think you've got your items for discussion, and that's where I would put your CEO report and anything else. Like it might be a progress report on a particular big project or whatever. That's where you sort of list, depending on the different reports. Like it might be committee reports. Obviously, if there's decisions to be made, this is the area of the agenda where I would put the CEO report, the committee reports, but again, noting if there's decisions to be made based on them, they've been pulled out and are separately above in the items for decision.
See, we put committee reports in matters for noting.
Well, it depends, right? Like it might be that there's nothing to discuss. So it might be, so for example, say you've got a nominations committee, you might have to approve certain candidates being put forward for election, or if it's a remuneration, they might be approving CEO remuneration.
That's right. So that absolutely does come up into decisions. Yeah. And I would have a separate briefing on that.
Yeah. So discussion, pretty much your CEO report.
Yeah. The financials.
Financials. Yep. Finance report, which might be a separate agenda item. So it could be, in terms of like getting really specific, it could be items for discussion, which is, let's say, what is it, item 5 or 6, whatever by now we're up to, and then A and B, or point one, point two, or it could be a separate heading. But I think the guiding light is you are assuming, or you're pre-hoping, everyone's read this and there's no decision to be made that hasn't been lifted out. So, you know, you're noting questions, you're noting the finance report, and you might have brought one of your staff in there to talk about it, or not, depends on if it's, you know, just a reporting, not controversial. But yeah, this is the time where they can, the board members can ask any questions about the report. But this is the sort of update. But, and I guess my pet hate is, don't talk about everything that's in the report. Like, it should be taken as read, because that's just where it becomes a time sap, right?
And I know, but it's a tricky one though as well, isn't it? Because sometimes the CEO is very much influenced by the board's behaviour in that moment. So we do the same thing. It's like, we'll take the report as read. Are there any particular questions? Or I do that, I've taken it as read. I just want to highlight I want to highlight several points in the report, almost like an emphasis, like an exclamation mark on those matters. Or since I crafted that report, which was a week ago, I just want to give you an update on some items that may have progressed or changed. But then I've been in board meetings where directors then will ask questions and you're like, that's in the report. So it's evident that they've not read it.
Or it's behind, read it very quickly and maybe you missed the key point. I don't know. Like, yeah, it's very obvious though, isn't it?
That's right. So, but the trick is then you're sort of walking in going, okay, I know, you know, a particular director is going to need this much more information. This director really just wants a one line summary, and you're trying to find the right balance of information.
And sometimes it's a bit of politics, because it might be that one of the directors feels the need to highlight a particular point that they want a discussion on. So they might say, hey, Danielle, I noticed this, or what about this? And they're kind of hoping to use the question to start a discussion. I mean, I absolutely agree. I think if you are the CEO and you say, oh, any questions on my report, you know, 90% of the time you'll get met with silence. And so I do agree that it's helpful to say, these are the three things worth highlighting from my report, and not kind of go into all the detail, but like just to kind of almost kick off the discussion if it needs to happen. But to check in that, as you say, everyone's read it. Let's assume they have. But if they haven't, it flags it to them. But I think that's also useful for you as a CEO then, to make sure people, yes, they've seen it. Yes, they think you're on the right track. Yes, you know, they understand where you're going. Like, you know, I think it's helpful for you to flag a few things from your report as well, rather than just, oh, radio silence, next, move on. It's pretty unsatisfying.
Yeah, because you put a lot of time into those reports. There's a lot of hours and there's a lot of people who input, depending on your CEO report structure, that you do want there to be some kind of discussion. But I think the CEO can drive the direction of that discussion. That's the CEO's time to shine in that, in the board meeting, so to speak, in terms of, you know, what have we done? Where are we going? What are we doing? That sort of thing. And then obviously the finance report. So your point is that they can be all together, they can be separate items. But similarly, the assumption is, and, you know, boards that I've seen who structure it this way, the finance report's already been reviewed by the finance and risk committee, or the finance audit risk committee, or whatever their name is. So there's already a proportion of the board who's already done a big deep dive into the numbers before it's then gone to the board for further conversation. Depending on the status of the financial position of the organization and the fact that the finance committee's reviewed that, it can be a very quick discussion or it could be a very lengthy discussion.
Yeah. And I think, again, that's the one where you have that chat with, you know, if it's your finance manager that's in there, or if it's a conversation, and if you don't have a finance committee, depends on, you know, the size of your organization. But again, it's up to you as the CEO to flag anything. So make sure that someone in the meeting is able to talk to, for example, any variances, like if there's something's underspend, overspend, why, if you need to, you know, move anything, different line items, like whatever. Like, you need to make sure that you can talk to the report. And I mean, I like bringing someone else in to talk to the report, whether you've got a finance manager or someone who's been in that committee meeting. I just think it's good to have someone else in front of the board as well. But you obviously, as the CEO, need to know what's going on and you need to be able to talk to it.
Yes,
too.
That's a report you perhaps haven't built, but you absolutely must know it going into that meeting, because even if you've got a finance manager in there who is able to answer the questions, it's likely that the board is looking at you, the CEO, first, which you might defer to your finance manager or your executive in that regard as well. A quick question I've got, Michelle, is that obviously between board meetings, board committees are doing lots of work as well, which often sort of presents itself in a board meeting. In your experience, do you expect, and I'm assuming in those board committees that the CEO is across those board committees as well, so they're attending because they're probably also presenting work to the committee. Do you expect the committee to present that information at the board meeting, or do you expect the chair or the CEO? Like, what's it in your experience? What do you see?
So I've seen all sorts, but the one that I guess I kind of like is the chair of the committee will talk to the report. Now, they might not need to, depends on what the committee's been working on, but I think it could just be a quick update, or it could be, as we said earlier, something that's been brought to the board for decision or approval because they've done the work and now it's to the board for approval. But I guess the two things I see is the chair of the committee actually brings that to the board. I think I like that idea. Again, I'm always big on the ownership and the accountability. Now, it might be that if it's a particularly big piece of work or an ongoing piece of work, the chair might say, look, I'll ask the CEO to update it because the CEO is like so across it. But again, I think, you know, the whole point of the board meeting is a discussion. So, you know, the more different voices that are speaking and talking about what's going on, I think is good. But yeah, is that what you normally say?
Yeah, I've seen combination as well. So generally, in my experience, it would be the CEO who's done, say, the paper. So they've done the crafting of it in terms of what's come out of the committee meetings. And the CEO might initially speak to it, and then the committee chair might add to it as well, or vice versa, to your point. And that way the board has heard, I suppose, a full summary before then they can actually jump into any questions or discussions that they want to dive into, particularly if there's a decision. But I've seen it so different.
Which has happened earlier.
Yeah, which has already happened. But it just made me think, because I've seen it so many different ways as well. And
look, I don't think there's a right or wrong way. I think it's more about efficiency. And again, I think it's like we've been saying, is this the work of the committee? Is it just reporting and updating? Or is it asking for a decision? And in which case, the decision goes up earlier. And as the board is asked to make that decision, then maybe the chair or the CEO would speak to that particular item. Okay, so back to the item for noting. So that could be just the committee reports.
That's right. So following items for discussion, where we just talked about CEO report, finance report, then you go into items for noting. So that might be your committee.
Yeah, and so that might be your committee reports. Or, and your WHS update, always then, I think. I think it should be on the agenda every board meeting. It's a board responsibility.
So we put some additional reports in there where it doesn't actually require discussion. It's just information that we want the board to be aware of, which is bespoke to the organisation. So it might be about sort of sector issues or regulatory changes that we need the board to just be across, because there might be something new that's coming in we need them to know, but they don't actually need to make a decision on.
Yeah. And the other thing I often see is this might be as well where the CEO lists particular meetings they've attended, whether they're meetings with stakeholders or sector engagements, you know, I could just a list. So then, and this could be in your CEO report, but one of the things I like about seeing it separately is it's the stakeholder engagement piece, which then is more obviously, I think, owned by the board and the CEO rather than just in your CEO report. So items for noting is, you know, it might be, you know, advocacy or stakeholder engagement or whatever heading's appropriate for you. And then you just have that separate list there.
That's right. I've done that where if there's been some a big advocacy piece, you know, where you're doing some communication with members of parliament or meetings, or you've written to them, you've gotten response, tend to put that in items for noting so the board can actually see that work or what the key messages are or the key issues are as well. But it doesn't generally require any activity out that from the board. It's just keeping them up to date on the big things that are important to you and need to be made aware of. And I find those things also just kind of help directors form some of the strategic thinking as well.
Yeah, well, they need to be updated as what's going on. And this is another way of, I guess, bringing in that sort of sector engagement, sector awareness, because if you've gone and met a certain group of stakeholders or a certain, you know, members of parliament with regard to a specific issue, then that's the live issue that they need to be across, right? So just drawing that out, I think, is helpful. All right, so then that's still in items for noting. What else might go in items for noting?
I think that's pretty much it. I don't think there needs to be. You're at the end of the meeting. Don't put too much.
Yeah, don't balloon it with lots of stuff.
That's right, because everyone's actually ready now to go home. So
yes, now they're tired. Okay, and so then the next agenda item, which may or may not happen, is I think the in-camera session, which is where the board only meet without the CEO and anyone else in the room. Now, you know, this doesn't always need to happen. I have seen boards where they have it as a matter of course, almost just to check in, like for the chair to say, does anyone have anything they want to raise now that we haven't got the executive or the CEO in the room? Might just be a bit of a check-in. Or it might be that the board goes, actually, we don't need this, you know, there's nothing we need to talk about that we can't talk about in front of the CEO. And I think that's really important as the CEO to not kind of take that personally. And when I talk with boards, I quite often will say, look, you know, I encourage you to do this and have this session so that when something comes up, it's not odd and really obvious, oh my God, now we've got to talk about this issue. But I think, yeah, I think for the CEO, you just have to be relaxed about this, right? Like you're giving them chance to just talk.
And sometimes it's actually just about board matters, right? It might just be about board function, board behaviour, board performance, things that actually
they don't really want to talk about and it's not in front of the CEO, but it's not about the CEO, right?
Yeah, I find the in-camera session, I actually think it's very helpful to board functioning because they've got an open space to talk openly. Depending on the matter, CEOs have to acknowledge that directors do talk to each other without the CEO there. So whether that's in-camera, they might do it, they have telephone calls with each other, they email each other, those sorts of things. A good chair will summarise what's going on to the CEO. So you're not in it and you're not drawn into it, but you're kept abreast of it. And that's probably the next thing on the board agenda is your next meeting.
Yeah, date of next meeting. Just put it there just so everyone knows it and there's no one that needs to be reminded. And then I think that's it, right? That's the agenda. So that's how you build your board pack, like what you put in. If you follow that agenda, that's a pretty standard agenda. I think hopefully then you as the CEO are able to influence and shape an orderly meeting.
And think about time and time allocation to each of the items.
And get the decisions you need, right, that you need as a CEO to be made so you can either move forward or do what you need to do as the CEO.
That's right. So if we kind of looked at the key structure of the agenda item, you've obviously got the formalities up the front, the opening, the acknowledgements, attendees, conflicts, apologies, previous minutes. Then you've got items for decisions or matters for decisions. So anything that the board or the CEO is seeking approval or agreement on. Then you've got your items or matters for discussion. So there's some reporting there. We talked about the CEO report and finance report. And then matters for noting. So the things that don't need any activity or decisions, but you want the board to be across. Of course, allow some time for the board to have some in-camera and then finalise that off with the date of your next meeting.
Yeah, so actually that's a really good point. So if any of this has resonated with you, or you think that you would like some help on working with your board, setting your agenda or your CEO report, or setting up a pack at all, go to the nfpceo.com.au, go to our website, get in touch with us, or get in touch with us on LinkedIn, and we are happy to work with you and see if we can assist.
Done.
Yep. Done.
Yeah.
Perfect board meeting about to happen.
Keep it on track.